Good afternoon. Last week, we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the lunar landing, which was a great event. And the recommendations that Neil and I have put forward in our paper are recommendations that hopefully would help to overcome the four barriers that were identified by Neil and really make NASA an agency that, again, could demonstrate its relevant in a post-Cold War world as relevant as it was post-Sputnik back in the 60s and the 70s and what it's done since that time. We had the four barriers that we identified. The first barrier, the impact of export control on space commerce. And I think in January of this year, the NRC came out with a report beyond Fortress America, national security control of science and technology in a globalized world. That report, I think, makes it very clear that we need to change our export control policies. They make a very good case for changing it, and our recommendations are that their findings and recommendations be accepted and implemented. And we've been very encouraged. I think that the House Science and Technology Committee has already had one hearing on that, and I think that Chairman Gordon, I think, recognized the need for change. So I think that's a very encouraging sign, and hopefully we can move forward, because that is really a hindrance in our ability to do work together in space. With regard to the second barrier, the shortfall in the U.S. science and engineering workforce, there's not an immediate solution to that. That's going to take, I think, time to correct. The report that Neil mentioned, the NRC report, Rising Above the Gathering Storm, I think really defines the problem quite well. And they come up with a set of recommendations, excellent recommendations, and that was put forward in 2005. And I think, unfortunately, all those recommendations haven't been really implemented. What we need to do is move forward with that as quickly as possible. But it'll take some time to correct that problem. The report in January, the Beyond Fortress America, also commented on the visa control policies of the country that do affect and inhibit our ability to work with foreign experts and also really make it very difficult to absorb foreign students into our workforce. That would help to alleviate our problem. And they make recommendations that I think supported the Rising Above the Gathering Storm report, and I think should be implemented. But over and above that, I think back in 1958, we had the National Defense Education Act, and I think it's time that we really passed a new act, an updated act, that made financial aid available for education at all levels in this country. I think it certainly, if you look back in 50 years ago, post-Sputnik, the country was very concerned at that time. But considering the state of the U.S. education system and the shortfall that we are faced with in engineering and science, the workforce, I think we should be equally concerned about our situation today. And we should move forward and try to solve the problem as we did back in 1958 with that act, which was a great act, and I think we've been really living off the benefits from that act ever since that time, because a lot of young people went into science and engineering, and those are the young people at that time that contributed to making the advancements in space that have happened since those years. So we need to do that again, and that needs to happen fairly quickly. But over and above that, I think NASA really needs to partner with the universities in this country to really establish an effective graduate program. And we need to have another National Defense Fellowship Act passed that would make funding available to support graduate students working in fellowships with NASA. And I think that would really enhance the technical strength of the agency, and I think would help really with the shortfall in science and engineering within the country. And it should be a key objective of any NASA research and development program that to really look to inspire the young people of the country, get them interested in science and engineering, to rebuild the technical expertise and science expertise within the agency and across the country. And I think that's going to require a strong partnership between NASA and the university community. And what NASA needs to do is reestablish its research, its center research structure that no longer exists within the agency. They need to reestablish that, and in reestablishing it, make it a research activity and research centers that do have strong partnerships with the university community. The third barrier Neil mentioned was related to the inadequacy of the planning for the future of NASA and the U.S. civilian space program. And we have made some recommendations that I think would hopefully get the agency moving in the right direction. We propose really restructuring the exploration program, continuing to fly the shuttle till 2015, and really enhance and improve our operations relative to the International Space Station. And the shuttle is a very key element in that. I think if those of you who have been following the mission that is going to be completed tomorrow, where they just completed 5 extravehicular activities on this mission, that wouldn't have happened had you not had a shuttle. And if you look at our commitment to our international partners, the only way that you can meet our commitment and make really a science a real activity on board the space station is to have up and down cargo that the shuttle can carry. Without a shuttle, that science can't happen. So if you look at our commitment that we made to our partners, we need to keep the shuttle flying. And so we could fly at a lesser flight rate, but the shuttle will play a key role in making sure that you can really fly the space station for this coming decade. So it's important to do that. At the same time, we ought to look at restructuring our exploration program, look at really not investing in Ares 1, but use the launch vehicles that are already available commercially, and look at focusing NASA's activities on a heavy lift launch vehicle. Because if you're going to really do exploration, a heavy lift launch vehicle is not going to be available commercially. That's something that the government is going to have to participate in. So we would propose that certainly we restructure that and look at how we can move forward to enhance the space station operation again with a shuttle. We also identify in our paper a five-point program that we think NASA needs to implement. The first one being the restructuring of the exploration program. The second is, as Neil mentioned, looking at how we can really utilize the talents within NASA, their expertise and what the activities going on at the center and the expertise of those centers, get them applied to looking at providing short-term gains for the environment and for energy, and do that within 4 years. I think they have the capability to do that. Certainly looking at how you can look at improving the efficiency and the adequacy of our wind turbines, both aerodynamically, structurally, and with the mechanisms. Look at how you can really optimize and improve our large solar cells. Look at how you can develop small fuel cell technology. All these areas, I think NASA has the expertise to do and can do. The same thing within aeronautics. Look at alternate fuels for general aviation and aircraft, and look at how we can improve and get our efficiency of our aircraft, all with the idea of making our aeronautics program a more efficient and a better one. These things can, I think, all be done in the short term within a 4-year period. The next point was really focusing on a longer-term gain over 8 years, which would look at maybe even doing experiments, small-scale experiments, where you do wireless transmission of energy from a space station or a shuttle back to the Earth and prove that concept. And I think looking to the future, all those kinds of activities are going to be important to us looking at alternate energy sources and certainly the environment. So we can also, within the longer term, I think, get gains from that NASA would focus on, as I say, with the experiment, a small-scale experiment, also looking at what they can do to enhance the Earth Observation System program. And then the fourth point would really be to ensure that we do have an effective and a meaningful robotics space science program. We have, I think, a great community of scientists that have contributed greatly to the discoveries we made. We ought to look at how we can really continue that. And I think if we did fly the shuttle, some other missions through 2015, we ought to look at really supporting Hubble again, because you look at the Hubble that is flying today, it has no resemblance to the Hubble that was initially launched. It uses all new technology, new instruments. And so it's a much better facility today than we ever launched in the beginning. And looking at the next 5 years, I think what we could do is certainly look at maybe flying more missions to the servicing that Hubble telescope and continue to make it sure it is a good facility. And the fifth point that we may make in our paper is reinvigorating our aeronautics program. Aeronautics, as Neil said, has really been reduced and cut back. And aeronautics is a very competitive world there, and you look at the world market. And I think it's important that the U.S. continue to hold a big share of that market. And so looking at how we can continue to advance our aeronautics programs is important to this country. We've let our test facilities all across this country, aeronautical test facilities, really get into a pretty poor state. And so what we need to do as part of that activity is look at how we can identify and look at the updates we need to make to those test facilities to make sure that we can really pursue a good aeronautics research program, one that will make sure that we continue to be a leader in the world. And then relative to the fourth barrier, which was really the impact that has happened on international cooperation. As I say, what we need to do when we restructure the exploration program and put the focus on the space station and continue to fly the space shuttle through 2015 and meet our commitments to our international partners. We, the Japanese and the Europeans, the Canadians all have their facilities on orbit now, and without the shuttle, they're not going to be able to get a return on the investment they made. So keeping that shuttle going and supporting the space station, I think, will meet our international commitments. And as we look at restructuring our exploration program, we ought to look at how we could really build on the successes of the International Space Station. We've been flying up until just this year, three astronauts and cosmonauts on board the space station. And then this year we've gone up to a crew of six. We have shown how we can work together with people from all around the world, different cultures, and back in 1958, I don't think people could imagine that we would be flying with the Russians as we are today, and they're great partners. And I think if you look at what our relationships have been on the space station, we have a great relationship. And I think we got to know each other. They think and act pretty much as we do, and see the world pretty much as we do, and at least in the space business. So I think we could just continue to do that and extend that to China as well. Because you look at the successes we've had with Russia and the other countries, there's no reason that we couldn't do that with China. We had the Chinese over at the Baker Institute for an international meeting this past May, and I think they're very receptive to that, and I think that is something that we ought to consider in the future. We started out with the Russians back in Apollo-Soyuz, looking at doing a common docking system. Certainly we could do that with the Chinese today and look at building on that relationship and then bringing them into the space station and then certainly making them part of an exploration program. But if we're going to do an exploration program, and we should have one that's going to go to the moon or Mars or look at going to asteroids or doing comet intercept missions, we need to do it internationally because I think the International Space Station has proven the value and the importance and the need of doing that. And looking to the future, I think that's the only way that we can go. So we've tried to convey all those messages in our paper. I don't know how well we've done, but hopefully we've carried that message through in the paper. So thank you for listening, and I guess we have some questions.